Hi, K-Watchers. It's Leanne.
Hi, everyone. It's Juliet. Welcome to the K-Watch Party.
Today, we have The Boyfriend, episodes 5 and 6. Our favorite gentle giant, Usopp, Go-Go dances his way out of the house, leaving tears, fond memories, and chicken for everyone. We also get a new member in the house who has no idea the giant shit sandwich he's walking into. Let's get into it. Hello, Juliet. How are you?
I'm great, as usual. You know, we made it to Friday. I can't complain. How are you doing?
I'm okay. The only thing I have to complain about is that I have this giant pimple on my eyelid.
Oh, is that what that is? I'm looking at you from across the room and it looks like you have a Band-Aid on.
Yeah, so I put those acne patches on it.
What an odd place to get a pimple.
I know. So it's really bothersome because it's so noticeable and looks like I got punched in the eye, but I'm hoping this acne dot patch thing is going to work.
You need the one that is like the smiley face or the star. You know, it would look a lot cuter that way.
So a lot of the teenagers and young women wear it with like a very I would want a patch that's not noticeable. That right. Kind of like blends in, but they wear it with like Hello Kitties and stuff.
Yeah, they want it to be known. It's like almost a status symbol.
That you have acne and you can afford a pimple patch?
Don't get me to explain the mind of a teenager, but I do see a lot of young people wearing that and I'm always confused.
It's not demure. It is cutesy.
It is cutesy.
What have you been up to?
Well, a lot of the same. Just keeping busy. The other day we were getting ready for bed and my son always loves to tell me about his day just as he's getting ready for bed. And I'm like, no, bro, you should have told me at dinner. Like, time is ticking. I don't care anymore. But he's telling me about how his day was and how he has a crush on these girls. And he starts naming multiple girls. Your daughter is included on the list.
Aw, I'm so glad. But it sounds like it's a crowd.
It's a crowd. And he's naming all of these girls. And I was like, oh, is it okay to have a crush on that many people at the same time? And by the way, what is a crush anyway? You know, I wasn't trying to goad him. So I was, you know, just trying to bring that conversation along to like let him feel comfortable telling me. And he says, well, you know what a girlfriend is? It's bigger than that. And I was like, bigger. Oh, really? And then he says, yeah, but they all have a crush back on me too. So it's whatever. And I thought it was so cute. You know, I don't even think he understands what a girlfriend is or really even what a crush is. I think he explained it as, it's like when you really like somebody. Aww. You know, you really like them as a person.
He's probably like, you know what a wife is? It's bigger than that.
Yeah. You know what you and dad have? It's like more than that.
It actually has like love involved.
Yeah, exactly. There's no nagging involved.
No, not just like daily planning of what activities are going to happen that day.
So I left that conversation actually just really conflicted because I thought it was so cute. And then at the same time, I felt so much pain thinking about him growing up. He was in kindergarten last year. He would have never said anything like this. He thought having a crush meant that you crushed somebody, literally, you know, like you crushed them with your fist.
Like a wrestling move.
Yeah. And now here he is. He's talking about how he likes these girls. And
well, and if my daughter's on that list, she's going to eat him alive.
Well, she will crush. She will literally crush him. Mm-hmm. And I felt quite sad about how quickly time is passing.
Yeah.
And then in a really, really macro way, I was thinking, I was just accelerating the timeline. And I was thinking about this, like in his future relationship, as he gets much older, like who he is at home and how I treat him is gonna show up in his future relationships. And I felt like a very heavy sense of responsibility. And I think watching The Boyfriend and we psychoanalyze all these people and why they are the way they are, and we know a lot of it tracks back to who they were as a children, it feels like a big burden.
Yeah, and you're also raising a future man.
Yeah.
You know, but they always say it doesn't matter what you do. They're all still gonna need therapy. You know, there's no wrong or right. So
you treat them too well and then they're going to need therapy because they're going to be like, oh, well, I didn't have
hardship.
So that was like the big event of the week. I can't think of anything else.
Well, my older daughter, we need to have the puberty talk. I know. And so we're just outsourcing it.
Oh.
I mean, the school will do it in spring, but our Girl Scout troop is thinking of just hiring somebody and paying money for this person, like a medical professional, to come in and do the talk.
Do the talk like the birds and the bees talk? Or
no,
the,
I think it's
like
a puberty talk.
The body changing mm-hmm. talk?
Yeah. And so she's been really sick, my older one, and her armpits have been really stinky. And she's just like, oh my God, Mom, it's so stinky. Do you want to smell them? And I was like, I'm not ready to smell my girl's BO. You uh-huh. know, it's too soon. So it could be puberty coming anyway.
Yeah, she's getting close to that time. Mm-hmm. In fact, I remember when I got my period. Goodbye to all of our male listeners. But I remember I was like in fifth or sixth grade. I think sixth grade. But it was a devastating moment for me because even I then realized, oh my God, my life has changed.
Oh, it's
I'm sad. Never going to be that innocent little girl again.
Oh no. This is too hard. This is too hard for a Friday. We need like livelier conversations for a Friday.
I mean, really, the highlight of my week was I watched both episodes last night. Because I didn't have time this week. And it was such a treat. It was a binge. And I really, really, really wanted to watch 7 and 8. But I held myself back.
I was the opposite of you. I watched it earlier in the week. And so when I was writing up my recap notes, I was reliving it. And I was like, oh, it's just such a pleasant 2 hours spent, you know?
It was actually only 30 minutes each.
Oh.
Which I think makes it even better
Breezier.
Because they don't do that annoying back and forth, replaying the same scene over and again. But I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I think this show, and Terrace House was included in this, but is better than any Korean show that I've watched.
Wow. You mean like a reality dating
show? A reality kind of romance show. This is my vibe. Because I feel like some of the Singles Inferno type of shows are a little too artificial.
Yeah. They're forced.
They're forced. They're forcing them into situations. Yes. And there's something about the Japanese culture that is, I think, really interesting.
Maybe it's because the Korean culture, you're so close to it that it's actually not that interesting to you to see kind of the, what I would call like kind of cultural weirdness,
yeah.
you know, the things that I'm not familiar with. Yeah. But like to you, that's just what you expect. But in the Japanese shows, you're learning something new
Maybe.
About a different culture.
Yeah.
Which is so funny because I have a good friend in the neighborhood who, you know, like all my other good friends in the neighborhood, you're just stealing them and you guys hang out without me, whatever. But she...
For the record, they keep calling me. I didn't reach out to them.
This person was at the Malangtang Korean place.
Oh, yes.
And she sent me a photo and I was like, oh, I hate that place. It's like a Korean place that's like stealing mala as a flavor and putting Korean like fish cakes in it and then calling it Korean style malatang. So I'm just very opposed to like the appropriation of mala. Anyway. And then she texts me back. She's like, oh, we should come with Juliet and then you can get over your xenophobia.
Oh.
And I was like, you clearly don't know Juliet. She's the most xenophobic person I know. So yeah, but this is good to hear that you are choosing Japanese over Korean entertainment.
What you can rely on is Korean people to get over these fads so quickly mm-hmm. that it'll be, you know, long gone into the dust. Because apparently Tanghulu, uh-huh. which is a Chinese thing that is like a lot of Chinese people are
it's
upset.
It's that candied fruit on a stick.
On a stick, on yes. a skewer.
Yes.
So popular for a while. And I saw a TikTok that was showing that one of the Tanghulu places in Seoul was converted into a blanket shop because the trend has gone. Nobody wants it anymore.
Nobody wants Tanghulu, but everybody still needs a blanket.
That's right.
What we know we don't need is a wet blanket, mm-hmm. which is basically Shun in this entire two episodes.
Entire.
Well, we'll get into it. We'll wait on Sean because he needs a whole...
He needs a whole segment.
Whole segment. Let's start with where we left off last week in episode 4. So we left off with the reveal of the matches for an overnight date. And Alan is reading the tablet and we know that Kazuto got matched with somebody. I mean, chances are high statistically.
Because he's had like 3 people confess to him.
Yes. So we ended episode 4 not knowing who he was going to match with. We open episode 5. Alan reads his own name. And he is so happy.
Eek!
It's tough because 2 other guys sitting there.
They look devastated.
Yes.
And they're both not the most expressive people.
Right. It's Yusak and Ryota.
And they just look so disappointed.
Yeah.
But I think they knew.
Yes.
Ellen has been very vocal about how he feels about Kazuto. I don't even think Ellen knows that the other two like Kazuto.
I mean, none of these men will leave this poor Kazuto alone. You know, like, not for a dang minute. Kazuto comes off of work, and now we just know he wants to bath and chill. He's getting whisked away overnight. Ellen doesn't let him have a minute of rest. Oh, Ellen is, like, Ellen is all over him.
Raring to go. He is like a puppy dog.
Yes. They go on a date to a ryokan. They walk into the room. It's two beds.
Yep.
Immediately.
Ellen pushes them together to make a queen-size bed.
Right. The entire date is like a lesson in how not to date an introvert. Because Ellen is just so overpowering. Kazuto is a quieter person. He's clearly not like bam, 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 action-oriented like Ellen. Ellen doesn't get any of these clues.
But I wonder if somebody like Kazuto needs somebody like Ellen. Some introverts actually desire extroverts because they need a little bit of that excitement and they need somebody to push them along. And some introverts actually don't like that kind of energy. And we're really seeing that play out in two different relationships here in the cast. With Kazuto, it's really hard to tell what he wants. Because I, in some ways, thought he liked the way that Ellen was being. He wasn't resisting it. He didn't shut down in the same way that Shun has shut down with Dai. So I actually thought Kazuto liked it.
Really? Ended that date thinking Kazuto liked? Because I thought the entire time Kazuto was uncomfortable. Ellen goes on and on. He's talking the whole time. Kazuto doesn't really talk.
Actually, the best scene was when they were sitting at the table and Ellen is just like, oh, you know, I've liked you from the minute that you walked in. And then Kazuto just nods and then seemingly doesn't say anything because they cut to another scene and he hasn't responded.
Right. Ellen's like, when did you know that you wanted to come on the date with me? And Kazuto doesn't like kind of answer. Yeah. We find out a lot about Ellen. It sounds like he had a hard childhood. He didn't have a father growing up. He had to watch his little sister by himself. He had no family dynamic. It seems to be a running theme on this show is people who kind of don't have families growing up.
I think him and Shun maybe have a parallel type of upbringing or a story. And yet Ellen had turned that around to be very positive. He wanted to change his fate. He didn't want to sit in misery.
Right. And Kazuto even says to him, he likes how Ellen tries to make the world brighter.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely can see that there are aspects of Alan's personality Kazuto likes. But I think, you know, Ellen was too forward. He was too pushy. At night, Ellen starts making moves.
Oh my gosh. Actually, when they were in the bath, and Kazuto says, I need to get out. I need to wash up because I'm feeling really hot. Alan's face, as Kazuto had mentioned previously, he looked like an animal. He was like, I'm going to eat you up right now. That's how he looked. His eyes were blazing. So I thought something was going to happen.
Well, Kazuto's like, no, I'm good.
Yeah, Kazuto definitely at that point was like, no.
Alan says, oh, should we wash together?
Or I'll wash you up or I'll wash your back or something.
Yeah. And then Kazuto.
Kazuto says, I think you're crossing a boundary.
Yeah. And so Kazuto gets out by himself and washes him like feet away.
Yeah.
But definitely washes on his own. That's just the start of it. They're like in the bathroom kind of prepping for sleep. And Ellen just like bear hugs him out of nowhere. And then Ellen says, we should do a massage. My mom is a masseuse. I'm really good at massages. And Kazuto's like,
Kazuto wanted to keep his shirt on.
Yes. And then I was like, no, take your shirt off. And poor Kazuto doesn't take his shirt off.
But this is the thing. I wonder if Ellen is used to Japanese men being coy and being shy for the sake of like the appearance. And he feels that it is his job to bring them out of his shell.
Well, look, that might have worked with other men. I think Kazuto, like, Ellen just was not picking up what Kazuto was laying down. Like, Kazuto, I think, was very like, I'm going to keep my shirt on. I'm not going to have you wash me. I don't really want a massage. And they end the scene with Ellen basically mounting him.
Oh, my God.
Massaging his leg. Yeah, it was aggressive. Were you still rooting for Ellen and Kazuto at the end of that episode?
Well, I watched it. I was just entertained. And then when we got back to the house and he proceeds to tell everybody the details is when I started to get the ick. And I was like, in my notes, it's like, Ellen, I don't know if I should love you or hate you because I love that he's bringing refreshing energy to the group because everyone is so muted. Yeah. You know, it's like nice to have a little bit of fast-paced energy. However, by this point, I was like, clearly you cannot read this room. Yes. You don't really know who anybody likes. And I know it's not your job to please other people because you're here for your own mission. But you don't need to tell everyone these things. And it's making Kazuto uncomfortable.
100%. And I just thought it was so Japanese and interesting that they walked into the room. Everybody else after the date is eating in the dining room. And these two walk in and immediately the questions start coming from Usak. And I think Ryoto is like, where'd you sleep? How was sleep? What'd you do?
Did you put your bed together? Yeah. Did you take your clothes off?
You don't look well rested. What happened? What happened? And it was just like this barrage of questions, which Alan answered very openly. And I think, yeah, it was.
Yeah, and Kazuto did not say anything.
Yeah.
And there was a scene where Yusak says, "Ine," which means, that's good. But he said it in such an Eeyore way. I was like, my heart really, it has such a soft spot for Yusak.
I know. He acts so defeated this entire episode while Kazuto is away. Him and Ryota. Eventually, Kazuto lets Alan down easy. This happens in episode 6. Alan asks him how he feels about him on the lighthouse walk there at a picnic.
I think he finally got the hint because he was like, after the ryokan, we didn't talk again.
Kazuto says, I liked you before the date. Now I see you as a friend.
That was another note I had. That word friend is tomodachi and it comes up again with shunin dai. That's the worst word you want to hear on this show.
Right. It's a slap in the face, basically.
I've been friend zoned.
Yeah. So I think Alan was too much for Kazuto. I think he crossed his boundary and it turned him off, which, you know, it happens.
That I feel like that must have been kind of a knife in the heart for Alan because he also was just probably being himself.
Yeah.
And it's probably hurtful to hear like all of that. Not into it.
What also Alan is just like, it came from a place of liking Kazuto so much.
Yeah.
But I have to say, and I'm going to say this about Dai later too, is that Alan really takes it well.
Oh my gosh, so mature.
Yes. Just kind of accepts this as an answer and is like, okay, I respect that. And we'll move on. No bitterness. Mm-hmm. No like fighting back, but like, give me another chance. Oh, I'm sorry. What did I do wrong? He's just like, okay. And just moves on.
So I wonder if that's something he's heard a lot.
Maybe. What I did think was a funny moment was, after they have this very nice conversation, they walk along the beach and there's all these rocks. And Kazuto is walking on the rocks and kind of slips and hurts his ankle.
Yes.
Alan swoops him up because he can't walk on it. And he like kind of carries him off the beach. It's like a drama. I feel like that happened in Queen of Tears. Like you almost can't write this shit.
Yep. I thought maybe after this, Kazuto's going to say, well, I've had to reconsider because he was my knight in shining armor.
Yeah. His big arms saved me off the beach. Alan says, I'm glad I now know how you feel. Now I could be more natural with you. Like, what a guy. The person I actually started rooting for as Kazuto's match was Usak.
Yeah, me too. I could see the two of them together in a relationship. I think energy-wise, they are similar. And I mean, there's this whole conversation we need to have about relationships and energies because this is coming up so much. And it also made me maybe think about my own relationship, you know, like in terms of where we are energy wise and if it's a good match.
I don't think you don't dig too deep on
that's a conversation for another day. I think why Yusak and Kazuto may not be a great match is because there's no one to take the initiative. That's why I think Alan would have been, if he had muted himself down just a little bit, he could have been good for Kazuto.
Yeah, maybe he was like too nervous or.
Yeah, he was just so jumpy. Excited. He was like, oh my God, this guy that is totally my type. I'm so into him. This is my chance. He just overdid it.
Yeah. Usak volunteers to work the coffee truck. It's the day after Kazuto comes back from his overnight and he says he wants to work with Kazuto. I mean, again, poor boy. He's just had the most stressful overnight day. He's just been fending off this like wild tiger. And Gotta go work and sell coffee. I mean, kid just needs a minute.
Also, is he the only one that can drive in the house? He's always driving the coffee truck.
I'm telling you, he knows his strengths. He knows he's a sexy driver. At this point, I was like, Usak should volunteer. they're trying to raise money for his chicken. And so he should be working the truck every day. And they actually make almost 11,000 yen, which is, I mean, on the higher end for these.
Yes. That means close to $100.
They take a walk on the beach. Usak is so sweaty, like all the time. It's all that protein.
It is all that protein. It makes you sweat.
Yeah. You know, like you go into the Japanese metro, you're like, it'll be like deep summer.
And nobody is sweating.
Nobody's sweating. Everyone's like wearing full on 3-piece suits.
Yeah. They're long sleeve, fully covered.
Yeah. Like smashed in like sardines in the metro and nobody ever is sweating. But Usak, oh boy, he is sweating. He's sweaty because he's probably nervous. He's sweaty because he's in the sun and he's sweating because of the chicken.
Yeah, and I did laugh at that scene because he's like trying to avoid the water, but he's like falling into quicksand. And then here Kazuo is holding the ledger. You know, like they look so dorky on the beach.
They sit down. Usak says, "Can I say something?" I feel like Kazuo is like, oh my
dear God again. Here
another
we go.
One. Can't everyone just chill out? But Usak just barrels on. He confesses again. And it's such a confession by an Asian person. He says, "You're a good chef. You keep things clean. These are the reasons I like you." You're like, no, there's no passion. There's no like, oh, I want to rip your clothes off. I want to be with you. It's you keep things clean. And Usak tells us that
he's leaving the green room. I was confused. I was very sad.
It's a Terrace House special, though. Terrace House is the only show where people just up and leave when they kind of feel like it.
Is this like a samurai mentality? Like, I'm going to sacrifice myself. Like, or maybe Usak said, I can't handle the pressure.
Yeah, it's either I am not bringing ratings to the show and so I need to sacrifice myself, or it's...
And I'm eating too much chicken and everybody hates me.
He says he's satisfied because he met someone that moved him and he was able to express himself. And that was his goal coming to the show. And now he's able to move on. I mean, he had an arc, you know, like he came, he felt some feelings, he said his feelings.
And he bounced. I mean, there wasn't even like, he didn't stay the night, you know, he just like went right back into the house and grabbed his bags and was like, peace.
I could previously like, could not stand him. I was like, I cannot watch one more second of this Eeyore.
He's so boring.
But his goodbye speech... It was quite moving.
It was moving. And I think what he did afterwards was quite moving. So he left and he left the ledger that everybody leaves their notes in after they work at the coffee truck. And Kazuto opens it up and he had created anime drawings of each of the people in the house. That was moving. That was so special.
I know.
And they showed him spending time doing it every day.
And we thought he was brooding.
Right.
You know, because he wasn't number one pick.
But in fact, he had been planning this all this time. So maybe he really was planning to leave all along. Who knows?
He says he had a gig.
He had an international go-go gig.
Yeah.
That really made me very attracted to him.
I know. You don't know what you got till it's gone. I really miss Usak. Hopefully he meets up with Kazuto after the show. Feels like they had a good vibe at the end.
It does seem that Kazuto was sad after he heard about it and after he left. It didn't seem like he was, like he really got to say what he wanted to say, which I also found interesting about Kazuto because after Usak said his piece at the beach, Kazuto didn't respond. So I don't, who knows what Kazuto's really thinking.
I know. He does seem down though at the announcement. Usak leaves with the words, "Whether you're here for love or friendship, there are only things you can say here at this house, so cherish it." And literally their last words to each other are, "Eat the chicken breasts well." But they say it with like no irony and like not as a joke. They're literally like, really, please. There's a lot of chicken breasts in the freezer. Don't let it go to waste. I'm shocked he didn't bring a cooler of chicken breasts with him on the plane.
Right.
So goodbye to Usak. Thanks for everything. Good luck in the future.
We should all have a chicken smoothie in honor of him.
Oh, yeah. Cheers to that. Gensei gets some airtime this week. Gensei takes Usak's words to heart. He says he wants to make the most of his time here. He then goes after Ryota like a bullet out of a gun.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, Gensei maybe took those words a little bit too close to heart.
He asks Ryota to work with him on the coffee truck and hands him a really lovely gift. He gives him a really nice necklace. He also asks him if he can do his makeup later. Like, I thought he was pretty forward with Ryota. I thought it was clear what Gensei was trying to say. But Ryota
doesn't... But he never said the words.
That's true.
He was like, I got you this necklace. Made me think of you. Can I do your makeup? I guess, you know, turns out Ryota's quite dense.
Or does Ryota just not want to accept it? You know, I feel like Ryota's, if Ryota has to accept that he knows that there's feelings here, like, you know, nobody just gifts you things and wants to do your makeup. Like, constantly asking him to make him a mocha. That boy is full of mochas because that's like the only way Gensei can get Ryota to pay him any attention. I feel like Ryota's like, if I can just avoid acknowledging it, then I don't have to deal with it because he doesn't like Gensei back.
But then he should have taken off the necklace. He's been wearing it.
That's true.
In the subsequent scenes.
Yeah. But we know that Ryota isn't into Gensei because he is obsessed with Kazuto. Like, obsessed. When Kazuto and Alan leave the house for their date, you know, him and Usopp are going by like, where do you think they're going to sleep? How do you think it's going to go?
And then Ryota sends him a line message, which is kind of like a WhatsApp or Kakao.
That's not cool.
While he's on the date with Alan. Right.
That's not cool.
That is not cool.
He's so clingy.
But did it seem like Kazuto was annoyed by Ryota when he came back? Because he's like, why am I sitting here talking with you?
Ryota like grabs him. The minute Kazuto kind of comes in the door and has a free minute, again, leave this guy alone. Ryota just like grabs him. He's like, can we talk? Can we talk? And it did feel like Kazuto was a little annoyed. Ryota asks Kazuto, have you made up your mind who you like? You know, he's being pushy in a different way. He's being like emotionally overbearingly pushy, wherein Alan was being like physically pushy. Usopp was kind of the only one that gave Kazuto space.
Yes.
Later in episode 6, Gensei learns that Ryota's crush.
Well, Ryota finally says it out loud to Gensei. He's like, oh, you know, my crush is Kazuto. Kind of like, duh.
Yeah. And so Gensei is at this picnic.
Oh,
and he just has the saddest face. It feels like the saddest picnic ever. This picnic, and we'll talk about what else happens at the picnic. It's just like Alan and Kazuto are basically breaking up. Gensei finds out that Ryota doesn't like him back. And Shun and Dai are having a thing. It's like,
and
the
then Shun is
ever.
Just going around like to anybody that will listen, like, oh my God.
What's happening?
I don't know what's happening. I can't stand him.
Yeah.
It's like a Kafka picnic. Like, what really is going on? Everything is exploding.
Yes. So let's move on finally to Shun and Dai. We had to get here. I really have had enough of these two, but they are a mainstay. Shun rejected Dai in the overnight date matching game because Dai clearly wrote down Shun, expecting Shun to write down his name so they could go on an overnight.
Right.
Shun clearly did not write Dai's name. I wonder who Shun wrote as like his safety. Because that's also risky. You don't know who might write your name down and then you're stuck in an overnight. So
I wonder if he wrote Kazuto. Because he knew everyone was going to write it.
That's true. Dai is really confused. So he goes to confront Shun at the dining room table. And he's like, what happened?
And Shun tells him pretty straight up.
Yeah.
Like, you're too clingy. It was your energy was, your tension was too high. You tire me out.
He says, we're not compatible. We should just be friends. They're really honest. And again, just like Alan and Kazuto.
Dai says, okay, got it.
Yeah.
I will respect that.
No pushback. And so.
There's a lot to learn there.
Really, truly. So Dai is pretty heartbroken.
But then, he keeps his space, right? Mm-hmm. He doesn't try to get near him, except for then they're all hanging out on the couch. And Alan tells Dai, hey, Shun wants you to come over.
Yeah.
And Dai's like, oh, okay. So he goes over. And Shun puts his head in Dai's lap.
And then Dai's like, okay. And so he kind of strokes him a little bit or touches him and then he flicks his hand away.
Yeah, this guy, again, bro, you need therapy.
I mean, just mixed signals.
Not normal.
Mm-mm.
And then Shun takes the pillow that was under his head that was a barrier between him and Dai. He takes it away.
Right.
So now Shun's like, what the fuck is happening?
There's nothing between the two of them. He's in like boner zip code and Shun knows it and he is just playing with Dai in like kind of a mean way.
Oh, it's so mean. But it is a great way for Shun to get his attention.
So while they're playing like cat and mouse, we get a new member. Ikuo, 22, works at a hamburger shop.
Oh my gosh, this guy. I don't know whether to love or hate him.
I know. He says to the camera he wants to be here to like find a boyfriend, sleep with him, take a bath.
He wants somebody to wash his hair for him.
Yeah, bubbles on his head.
Yeah.
He really jumps into the group. Not Alan jumps in kind of in the friendly, huggy way.
Yes.
Ikuo kind of comes in with like intention. Alpha
energy. Like, I'm taking over.
Yes. And he really does. Like, he's very forward with Dai. Like, oh, let's go take a picture over there. I'm going to walk away from the group with you.
Tells him immediately, like, oh, you're so cute.
Yeah. And like, oh, you're just like my ex.
Yes.
They have definitely a fun vibe. They definitely seem to get along. And they even tell each other, like, oh, we're really clicking. But like a dark cloud on the horizon.
Well, Shun is just, he's the black cat, you know? He's just looming around, making sure you feel his dark energy.
He's got his side eye going on. He's just sitting there awkward. So it's kind of like the Sad Boys Club. It's Shun, Gensei, and Ryota.
Yeah.
Because Alan and Kazuto are away, so Ryota's sad. Gensei's sad because Ryota isn't thinking about him at all. And Shun is sad because Dai and Iku are off together. So this Sad Boys Club, they're sitting in this gazebo.
They're just moping.
And his buds to Shun are like, oh, it must be so hard to watch this happening. They're referring to Dai and Iku having fun. And Shun is like, oh, I can't even look at him. I know he'll pick me. I know. Like, there's no way this is going to happen. Like, he's still going to pick me. It's like out of a teen horror movie.
But also, he's so self-centered that he doesn't recognize the other two are suffering.
Yes.
He doesn't pause to ask them, like, oh, are you okay?
Right.
They're so concerned with Shun because his aura is just so dark that they can't.
And he's just a self-centered person.
He's so self-centered.
I wonder if he's even told those guys what he told Dai, which is like, we should just be friends.
Oh, probably not.
He's probably just gaslighting Dai to everybody.
Yes.
Like, look what he's doing to me.
Yes.
I'm suffering because Dai is treating me like this when
he's the one that pushed him away.
And Dai's living his life. So yeah, lonely boys are sitting in the shade in the foreground, the last shot. Dai and Iko are in the background taking photos. It's like a tragicomedy.
They're all living in different worlds right now.
Yes.
Ikuo and Dai are having the time of their lives filming Instagram reels or TikToks, like jumping and dancing in the air. And then here we have poor Kazuto who has hurt his leg and he has his
knight in shining
armor. And then the three sad boys. Like
sad, lonely boys. Well, Ikuo also is clueless. This poor
Ikuo. He has no idea who likes who, but he doesn't care.
He just walks into it and claims what he wants.
Yep.
Do you think Dai is using Ikuo to get to Shun, to make Shun jealous and make Shun realize,
well,
Dai's not waiting around?
I mean, he's in a tough position because he's been told, get away. I don't want to be friends with, or I only want to be friends with you. And so what's he going to do? Like sit around and like wait hand on phone on Shun? He can't do that. So he's like, I'm going to have fun with the guy that I connect with.
Right.
And I do think that they have good energy together, but I don't think that they're a good couple match.
So you think he's actually having fun. He's not really using Ikuo to make Shun jealous because he definitely comes over to Lonely Boy's corner and was like grabbing a water or a banana or something. I mean, like, could we even be more
He was pointed? Definitely, he had a peeled banana in one hand.
Just slowly eating it, walking down the beach. Suggestion
Who
much?
Eats bananas at a beach?
I mean, they're... Bento box lunches looked amazing.
Yeah, this is where all their budget is going to. But yes, that's the beauty of having somebody like Kazuto in the house.
Bacon wrapped asparagus looked so good. Our picnics are like some pirate's booty, cold turkey sandwich.
So do you think that Dai and Ikuo were having a genuine time? Or do you think that was part of his strategy?
I think it's a genuine time, but I think Dai is always looking. Yes. We're not seeing it.
They showed that slow-mo where his eyes flicked up to look at Shun.
He's very, I think, still very conscious of Shun and how Shun is reacting, what's going on. So I think that he still likes Shun and he's not using Ikuo. I think he's having a good time, but I definitely think he knows what he's doing to make Shun feel some feelings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sometimes you don't know what you got till it's gone. And that's when you can face what you're really feeling.
We'll see what happens. That's generally all I had for this episode.
Well, again, I'm going to make another call out for how Taehyun has no screen time. And he seems to be into Kazuto, but they didn't show them talking.
No.
I feel pretty sad for the guy. I feel like he should leave.
He should open up a space.
Yeah, I think we need different energy here.
Yeah, go back to work.
He's like a fun fashion designer. He's never there either.
Yeah.
He seems to be missing quite, because he's not at the picnic. Or maybe they were like, sorry, you don't need to come.
Don't come.
there's no, we have no use for you anymore.
You know, if he brought his Korean picnic energy, though, there'd be a grill.
That's right. Some pork bellies, some ramyun.
Yeah, there would be some sauces, soju being poured. No, they kept it Japanese.
Although, did you see Gensei is Taiwanese?
Yeah, they keep noting that. They it's keep, mentioned multiple times. Yeah, they definitely want times. You to know.
Not one of ours.
He's not a purebred. Well, I also wanted to say, Ryota, to me, reminds me of that lizard character from Monsters, Inc. You know that, like, he's always slinking around.
He is. He's like side tall eye. And yeah. Very lanky.
Yeah. Mary F. Kill. Mary.
I would marry Kazuto.
Yeah.
I think we've said that the last...
He's always on the top three.
Yes. He just seems like a solid guy. But there is this theory that I've seen of like a marriage therapist or something who says for a heterosexual relationship, the woman should be the black cat and the man should be the golden retriever. That's like a good match, you know?
Yeah.
My relationship is the opposite. So I don't know what that says about us. But Kazuto just seems like even keeled, yeah. You know?
Mm-hmm. He seems so overburdened on this show.
I know.
Like he just needs a break. F. Who would you F?
Equal.
Equal?
Yeah.
Why?
I want a good time.
Oh, because you just think he's fun?
Yeah, I think he's fun.
I mean, I'm shocked we haven't said Alan yet. After this massaging and very how aggressive
true. We did
he
say
is.
Alan the first episode, I think. Or one of us did.
And he just seems like very...
He'll take care of you.
Ready to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'll wash me.
Oh my God, he'll wash me. He will
give me massages. Massage
me. Kill. What about you? Who? Massage.
F?
I mean, I'm sorry. F. Who do you... Actually, let's change the category to who do you want to massage you?
I actually... There was a scene where Usopp... This was last, like, episode 3 or 4. Usopp was giving...
Yes,
dye.
A foot massage.
Yeah, I found that very awkward. Like, to get a foot massage from a friend out in the open, I couldn't do it.
But he must be so strong.
Yes.
He must feel so good.
I know. Kill. Oh, my gosh. Kill, kill, kill.
I mean, it has to be Ryota.
It has to be Slinky Lizard Man.
Yeah, I don't. That's going to be his nickname from now on.
Yeah.
Slinky Lizard Man.
He's like not getting the hint.
He doesn't get the hint.
He's not letting him have space.
And I also don't like the way that he's treating Gensei. Like yeah. If he did, if he's not as dense as I think he is, then
he should be kinder.
He should be kinder. At least like be more upfront with Gensei.
Or like if you think he might have feelings for you, address it. Instead, he's just playing dumb and Gensei is being left guessing and then has to kind of find out in Lonely Boy Corner that it's not him.
Mm.
And it's sad. Okay. That was The Boyfriend episodes 5 and 6. We have 7 and 8 coming up. Only 4 more episodes of the show. Oh, we didn't mention that Durian really showed up.
Oh, yes.
So fabulous. I've been waiting.
I know. Yes.
That's what I've been waiting for, really. Forget Shun and Dai. I need more durian. Thanks for joining us. We will talk to you next week.
Bye.